Is the rabbi up in the
rabbi's up in Sacred
Lake?
Yeah. Hashem.
Shkayach.
You should know, I was just reading that the Lambs, he wrote a sefer called Halichas V'Halachas. And then I read the introduction. So at the end of the introduction, he signs what day he wrote it, and then he writes Sacred Lake.
Really?
Yeah. That's for me?
Yes.
Okay, thank
you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin. I just want to really thank Rabbi Simon for coming not only this evening, but for many, many years over the phone. I think we're talking clearly double-digit years, Baruch Hashem. We've had the zechus of having Rabbi Simon come in the summer and give us really wonderful in-depth shiurim. Tonight's topic, pushing the envelope, making a Shabbos early. It's always an interesting discussion. In Great Neck Synagogue, we have our 7 o'clock minyan, we have our 1 minyan, and we've gotten over the years several questions about if we make Shabbos at 7 o'clock, or we're davening mincha, we actually call mincha for 7 o'clock, so at what time should the ladies at home light candles? What time do you actually have to start abstaining from halacha? All interesting questions that perhaps Rabbi Simon will get into, but also the halachic understanding, the systematic thinking of what's going on when making early Shabbos. So Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Simon, kol hakavod, and we look forward to hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Lichter. We'll start with a bracha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaro. Okay. Good evening. It's always a pleasure here to be here during the summer. It's part of my summer routine. There's certain things that, Baruch Hashem, I try to do every summer. So one of the things is I try to come to the Great Neck Synagogue and share some Divrei Torah with you. So it's always a pleasure to be here. And as Rabbi Lifter said, it's been many, many years. Baruch Hashem, it goes back to Rabbi Axelrod and Rabbi Bronstein and Rabbi Lifter. So it brings back good memories for all of us. Okay. So the topic is making Shabbos early. I'll start off with a question that I received the first time ever, like 2 days ago. A fellow that I'm friendly with in yeshiva told me that he plans to go with his wife to Alaska. right. And so the question, you know, when to start Shabbos, when to end Shabbos, when to say Havdalah, you know, like, because, you know, the sunset is not like till like 11 something, and Shabbos is over like past 1 o'clock in the morning. Not everyone wants to stay up so late. Okay, so maybe in the course of our discussion we'll touch on, you know, that discussion. Okay. And I'll try to outline some important points. Feel free to speak up, and if something you want, an issue you want to raise, you know, because that makes it interesting when I hear what you're thinking. So please feel free to, you know, say your piece. Okay? It's not a lecture, it's an interactive discussion here. Okay, so the concept of making Shabbos early is a fascinating idea, because when does Shabbos begin? So simply, it begins at sunset. So you look in your calendar, what time is sunset? It's past 8 o'clock. So that's when Shabbos really begins. And there's a mitzvah to make Shabbos a little bit earlier. And the women are very particular to do that mitzvah. Any good Jewish woman knows that she lights the candles 18 minutes before sunset. So that's part. So the women are very medaktik. You know, they get this mitzvah. The men should also do the mitzvah by not doing malacha. Not, you know, a little bit before, because you're never supposed to go till the buzzer, because the people who go till the buzzer go after the buzzer. You know, that's the big yisod. You don't want to Chal Shabbos. I was once going to I live in Washington Heights. My in-laws live in the Lower East Side. And we were once going for Shabbos to my in-laws. It was like Parshas Va'era, so it was like part in the winter. And we left a good 2 hours, you know, before. I mean, it only takes 15 minutes. So we left 2 hours before. That should have been good. And then we get to the FDR, and there is this major jam because this tractor trailer that wasn't supposed to go there went on the FDR, and then the whole thing was blocked off, and people had to go on the streets. And after a certain point, I said to my wife, there is no way that we're going to make it before Shabbos. Impossible. Impossible. So the first priority we have is to park the car before Shkia, because so we shouldn't mechal Shabbos. Because driving a car on Shabbos is a cardinal sin. Every time you put your foot on the pedal is another avera of feeding gas into the fire. So that's why, you know, Moshe Feinstein was, you know, very against the idea of inviting people to your house on Shabbos who are going to drive, because driving is, and one thing, you take the train, so take the train. It's not the best thing to do, but it's not, you're not violating any big thing by taking the train. Or, you know, today forget the train. Today take people to Uber. Everything's Uber. You know, take the Uber. So if non-Jew, so non-Jew is driving you, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not the best thing in the world. But you to drive. So we, you know, we drove before. So we, Baruch Hashem, we were able to park the car 3 minutes before Shkia. But that's when Shabbos really starts. Shabbos starts with sundown. That's the Arab practice, like the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, that it starts with sundown. There's another opinion that starts later, but the opinion we accept in our communities, it starts with sunset. So the question is, what's the elasticity of Shabbos? Like, can I accept Shabbos? I want to make early Shabbos, so maybe today we should accept. They say Rav Shlomo Kalbach said the whole week is Shabbos. You know, when, how early can you accept Shabbos? How early? What would you say? What's the limits? The limit has to go someplace. Like Rabbi Lister said, we're pushing the envelope. But you know, how far could you push the envelope? How far could you do it?
You're not supposed to add or subtract.
Oh, that's an interesting question. What's your name?
What's my name?
Yeah. Zach. Zach asks a very good question. He asks, we know there is a halacha in the Torah that you're not allowed to add to the Torah or subtract from the Torah. Los bal tigra. It's an avera. If I would take a lulav, instead of taking four, I want to take five species, that's an avera. You'd say, you're doing more. No, you're not supposed to do more. You do what the Torah says. Because once, like, I think Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, once you do more, then it's not what the Torah is saying. Then it's what you know, then it's a anarchy. Then it's chaos. You do more, you do less. No, you do what you're supposed to do. But so that's an excellent question that this gentleman is raising. That what right do we have to add to Shabbos? So the answer is that there is a mitzvah to add to Shabbos. That is a mitzvah. You can't make new mitzvahs, but there is a mitzvah in the Torah to add to Shabbos. And Rashi explains that the reason for the mitzvah is so you shouldn't, you know, do melacha past the time. So it's always good to add. That's why I told you the women, they do a very good job. Every Jewish woman knows that they light the candles 18 minutes before sunset. So you're right. It would have been an avera, but since the Torah tells us we're supposed to do this, so we're supposed to do it.
It's not an avera.
It's not an avera. It's even a mitzvah.
All right.
It's a mitzvah. So now the question is,
maybe 36 minutes instead of 18.
Right. If you want to do 36, you know, in Yerushalayim, they have a minute to do more, right? Those that go to in Jerusalem, you hear the sirens go, they keep more than 18 minutes. the minhag of Jerusalem. Which mitzvah in the Torah is it? So that's an excellent question. So there are different psukim that are quoted. Rashi quotes it on the pasuk of Vayichul Hashemayim Va'aretz, that Hashem stopped, on the right before Shabbos. But there are other psukim, the pasuk B'charishu V'katzir Tishbos, that V'nisim Es Nafshach Sechem by Yom Kippur, this psukim. So one of these psukim is where it's learned out from in the Gemara.
On the other end.
And the same thing on the other end. Just like there's a mitzvah to add to make Shabbos early, there's a mitzvah to keep Shabbos late. And then the same question arises. How late can you keep Shabbos? How long can Shabbos go until? And it's a big mitzvah to keep Shabbos late. Because, the Zohar says, and this is, the Chafetz Chaim said this, that every bracha, all the blessings that we get in the coming week, emanate from Shabbos. So the longer your Shabbos is, the Chafetz Chaim said, the more bracha you're going to get for the next week. So, why run out of Shabbos, right? People in a lot of shuls, especially that Motzai Shabbos davening, if a guy is going to go a minute late, people are going to, So, but it's, the late of the Shabbos. Hamachrim latzeis min haShabbos marim lavo. So that's the question. How early could you accept Shabbos, and how late could you extend it? So let's look at both sides of the fence. How early could you keep Shabbos, would you say? Start Shabbos, right. Oh, so you said it. Plag Shabbos means an hour and a quarter, roughly, before sundown. So that's the simple understanding of how early you could keep Shabbos. Could you start Shabbos? In other words, before an hour and a quarter, say before of sundown, then if you accept Shabbos, according to many opinions, it wouldn't mean anything. It wouldn't mean anything. Because once it's an hour and a quarter before, so it's already considered like Rabbi Willig likes to quote from the Meiri Srach Laila, it's considered like the night is beginning to set in, even though it's still day, because the sun didn't set yet, but it's on its way down. So that's what we assume. That's what we try to assume, that you can't accept it Shabbos before an hour and a quarter before sunset.
Where is that from?
That's what it says, seemingly says in the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh.
Okay. So, now there is an opinion, there's one opinion in the Trumas Hadeshin that says that you could really accept it earlier. What do you think would be an earlier time that you could accept it? There's an opinion that says that, what?
2:30.
Right. Why do you say that?
Seems like the next logical step.
Right, exactly. This gentleman says that maybe there's one opinion that says that you could really start from like around a half an hour after midday, because once it's midday, the sun is already on the decline. So then, but say Friday morning you want to accept Shabbos, that's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. What? It could be Baal Tosef, maybe even. That's like you said.
An hour and a half, a function of 18 times, 18, 36, 72.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. And what about on the... Now, but you have to realize, even if you accept Shabbos early and you could eat the meal, but it's still Friday. I'll give you an example. Say, for example, you accept Shabbos early, before sunset, and then, Baruch Hashem, your wife gives birth to a baby boy. So when is the bris? When?
Friday.
The bris is on Friday, not on Shabbos, even though you already accepted Shabbos. Because you can accept Shabbos, meaning to abstain from doing work, and in terms of eating the meal of Shabbos and making Kiddush on Shabbos, but it's not fully Shabbos. You can't make Shabbos fully Shabbos when it's not. It's still Friday. And if somebody would accept Shabbos early and then violate Shabbos, so it's not a proper thing to do, but he wouldn't get the cardinal punishment that he would get if he would Mechal Shabbos, you know, once it's already sunset.
Why is that?
Because we can't, as much as we can, as Rabbi Luchtus have pushed the envelope, but we can't make a entity of Shabbos to really be fully Shabbos when it's not.
If you accept Shabbos early, that means that you're
considered.
What's the nature of
it? In other words, if you accept Shabbos early, then you're not supposed to turn on lights anymore, you're not supposed to do any of the things that you're prohibited on Shabbos, right? But it's still not the full Shabbos. And if you would do it, it wouldn't be a full, it's forbidden to do, but it wouldn't be the same severity of violation had you violated Shabbos once it's sunset. It might even be a daraisa, according to many. It might even be a Torah prohibition, but it's not the same Torah prohibition. Like, for example, if somebody is Mechal Shabbos and his witnesses, when there was a Beis Hamikdash, she would get a capital punishment. But if he accepted Shabbos early and he would do it, there would be no capital punishment. Now, how does this work? Families. The husband went to shul and he accepted Shabbos, and the wife still has so many things to do, right? She's cooking, she's this, she's that. Things of malacha. So does she have to stop? In other words, whereas we assume, like when you say l'chadodi, when you say mizmor shir l'yom ha-shabbos, you accept the Shabbos. So say you go to the 7 o'clock minyan. So when do they get up to Mizmor Shir? 7:40? I mean, first they daven mincha at 7, right? So it takes 15 minutes to daven mincha. And then until you decide who the chazan's going to be, it takes another couple of minutes. And then you sing L'chol Naran. So you get to L'chadodi and Mizmor Shir at 7:35 or something like that. So does she have to keep tabs on that? That at 7:35, she better have lit the candles.
So why do they go?
Or not? Area? So normal. Oh, so what do you say? You say not. Okay. So let's explain this. So normally there is a halacha that says that a woman, when she's married, is in her husband's domain, and therefore she follows his customs. His customs. Okay? Like Sephardi Ashkenazi, so like my parents, this. My father's Ashkenazi, my mother's a Sephardi. And so Sephardim, as we know, have different, Pesach is a big, difference between, kitnias and things like that. So the general assumption the poskim have is that the woman is now in the husband's domain. She follows the minhagim of the husband. So the question is, so if the husband accepted Shabbos early, does that behoove the wife to accept Shabbos early as well, based on this principle of the wife, the woman following the husband's customs. Why not?
What's the punishment if a woman doesn't follow?
Oh, no. So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Abadi also, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I believe, says that keeping Shabbos early is not considered a custom of the husband. Why? Because he's not doing it because he has a custom. They're doing it just for convenience. Right? Why all of a sudden are we accepting Shabbos early in the summer? You know, because it's convenient. Who wants to start, you know, who wants to start the meal at 9:30, 9:45, you know? It's not the, you know, much rather start the meal at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or something like that. So it's a convenience. So since it's a convenience, so Rav Moshe Feinstein says that doesn't have the status of a cook. And if the woman is running late and she still needs to do certain things in the house, even though the husband already accepted Shabbos, she can continue doing things. Obviously, she can't do it past sunset, but usually that's not the issue here. The issue is that, you know, he accepted Shabbos at 7:40 and she still needs to face another 20 minutes or something. So then Moshe Feinstein and Abadi said that it would be permissible for her to continue doing what she needs to do. Yes?
I think what Moshe said in that shuva is that ideally he should not do work for him.
Yeah, but technically it's still, you know, it's still permissible.
That's the whole thing.
Okay, there's another halacha like this. If you have, if the community is bringing Shabbos in early, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that everyone has to bring it in early. In other words, you can't say, well, Shkia is not till sunset, is not till 8:15, and the whole community is accepting Shabbos at 7. So I can still do till 8:15. No, the community is accepting at 7, then. So there are two things here. First of all, that halacha only applies if there's only one minyan and one shul in the whole community. Like some point out, like you have a summer camp, and if everyone is in one, and they're all accepting Shabbos, or a bungalow colony, or a community, some Hasidic community, there's one minyan in the whole community. It doesn't apply in America. Every shul has 5 minyan. You know, forget, let alone the shul that you don't go to down the block, or the shul that you used to go to. Or the, you know, so that's one point. And also, the same idea that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that the shuls that accept Shabbos early today are only doing it for convenience, and therefore that halacha of that the person has to accept Shabbos when the community accepts Shabbos, Rav Moshe thinks probably also doesn't apply. Because they're not accepting Shabbos because all of a sudden we want to do this mitzvah of accepting Shabbos early. They're just doing it for convenience. So when you do something for convenience, nothing wrong with doing things for convenience, but that doesn't get the status, and therefore you have to behoove other people to do what you're doing because you're only doing it for convenience. If everyone wants to say that we want to be extra strict with the mitzvah of adding on to Shabbos, and that's what the community decides, so then therefore we're going to do it even in the winter months when Shabbos is starting at 4:30, we're going to still, you know, make Shabbos early. So then there's what to say, that everyone has to follow it. But since people, as Moshe Feinstein says, are doing this just for convenience, it's fine, but Lamaisa, it doesn't behoove other people to follow along. Once it's Shkia, then you have to abstain. That goes without saying. Okay, so that's the first idea. There's also another halacha that's brought down, that if you accept the Shabbos early and your next door neighbor didn't, and you forgot to turn on this light and that light, and you forgot to put, so you can get the other person who didn't accept Shabbos to do things that you need to do. Whereas, because he didn't accept Shabbos yet, so he can even do things for you that require electricity or cooking or things like that, since he did not yet accept Shabbos.
But that wouldn't apply in the case where you said the entire community decided.
Right, if the entire community accepted Shabbos, then they accepted Shabbos. Or if we're talking about a community that is only one minyan and they're doing it for the mitzvah, then everyone has to accept Shabbos. And then you can't ask him because he's supposed to accept Shabbos as well.
So the neighbor who didn't accept Shabbos early could be your Shabbos guy.
Exactly. up to sunrise. Sunset, rather. Yeah. Yeah, the neighbor who didn't accept Shabbos could be your Shabbos guy. Correct. That is correct.
Hi.
Okay. And it also becomes relevant, the discussion of lighting candles, because just like you can't accept Shabbos too early, then the woman cannot light candles also before, an hour and a quarter before sunset. And sometimes that's an issue when you're eating by somebody and you don't want to have candles lit in your own house, so you can't leave too early. Because then, you could be violating this halacha. Now, what about on the flip side of this? What about the end of Shabbos? There's also a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos. So just like there's a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos on Friday, there's a mitzvah to make Shabbos late, to extend Shabbos. But how long could that go on for? What would you say to that?
Another hour.
Another hour and a quarter. Oh, whereas it should be symmetrical. An hour and a quarter in the beginning. All right, why not? An hour and a quarter at the end. So let's discuss. When does Shabbos end? What is the halachic? What?
Three
stars. You got it. Three stars. Very good. Three stars. Three medium stars. Right. So three stars. That's when Shabbos ends. And so that's very interesting because there are many more stars in the. Than three, right? You see, that was the old way of ending Shabbos. There was a Rebbe in our yeshiva, Rabbi Peretzky. He was the bochin of the yeshiva, and he learned in Raden by the Chofetz Chaim. And he told me that at the end of Shabbos, the Chofetz Chaim would give a speech, a musar, and then he would send someone out to look to see if there are three stars, and then they would daven. They didn't have a chart, like we have today, all the Zmanim charts. They didn't have the Zmanim charts. They had, three, they went out. They saw three stars. And then he told me that the Chofetz Chaim, sometimes if the speech would go long, he would say, you don't have to go out, the three stars are there. You could... Right, if it was cloudy, then you didn't have a chart. That's right. In other words, the stars are just an indicator of. So you have to estimate. They would have to assume, they would have to keep it until they knew for sure, that it's over. That the stars would have been there had it been a non-cloudy day. So three stars. So some posts can point out, the Ramban, Rav Shechter said this, I think, from Rav Soloveitchik, that the and the Ramban, I believe, says this, that the maximum of Shabbos is all the stars. Because Shabbos really ends 3 stars, but you could extend it till, say, Kol HaKochav. But once all the stars are out, and you still want to keep Shabbos, there's nothing to keep anymore. There's nothing to keep. Like, you can't keep Shabbos on Tuesday. Even though people confuse this, the halacha is that you can make Havdalah. Say you didn't have the wine to make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, you can still make Havdalah up till when? Tuesday night. But that doesn't mean you keep Shabbos until Tuesday night. You can't keep Shabbos until Tuesday. Whereas Shabbos ends when, technically, when 3 stars come, you could extend it according to some until all the stars. And after that, that's it. There's no more extensions. I have a friend who, he's machmir. He finds out when it's absolute darkness. And that's it. And he keeps Shabbos until absolute darkness. I always tell him, you only need 3 stars. You don't need absolute darkness is all the stars. So he wants to keep the most you could possibly keep of Shabbos is all the stars. So, okay. So you get it. Is it definitely a mitzvah? Yes. Okay, yeah, so I didn't mention that as of yet, if anyone wants to cause confusion here, but there is an opinion that says that the 3 stars are at 72 minutes. That's where the 3 stars are. Now, how could that be? I mean, you go out earlier, you'll see 3 stars. I mean, the standard calendar in New York City says Shabbos is over, what, 45 minutes after sunrise, sunset, right, something like that. So what's the 72? So that's known as the opinion of Rabbi Tam, and we could probably spend the whole night discussing this opinion. But, and Rabbi Tam's shita is that everything's late, 72 minutes. And technically speaking, according to Rabbi Tam, you can start Shabbos past sunset as well, because everything is late according to him. But that, in America, we've accepted that no Jew should do anything after sunset, even though there's an opinion that permits it, but it would cause too much of a confusion here, and that's why I told my wife, we've got to make sure the car's parked before Shkia. And especially now, you know, when people go to the mountains. I have a friend, his wife is driving to the mountains a couple of weeks ago. They're going up to the Poconos, Morasha, and the wife got lost. And Baruch Hashem, she made it like a minute. But the key thing now is when you go to the mountains, give yourself a lot of time. Because you don't want to get stuck in some traffic jam, and then, and you don't want to have to be involved in a question of, as I told you, driving a car is one of the prime examples of Chilul Shabbos. Because again, every time you put your foot on the pedal, is another violation of Shabbos. So that's that's why when people always ask me, could you invite somebody to my house, they're going to drive. So you always, first thing, try to avoid driving. Even if you tell them they'll take the subway, that's much better. Subway is much better, because you're not doing any malacha. Driving is, on Shabbos, is the...
Why did they have before cars? What was the cardinal sin before cars? They didn't have driving. Taking a wagon?
No. They were making a fire.
The car supplement.
In other words, whenever you put fuel in a fire on Shabbos, That's a cardinal sin.
So if we all
buy
Teslas, it's a less of a problem.
If what?
If we all buy Teslas, it's a less of a problem.
If we buy what?
Electric car.
Oh. Okay, I don't know if that's, you know, still not a, you know, a Shabbistic thing to do. Okay, that's a big question. But Moshe Feinstein thought not like that. Okay, absolutely is a okay. The different opinions. There's some opinions that say that if you're doing it for kirov purposes, it's not something that I would recommend. I would try very hard to have at least if he has to come. You know, get a non-Jew to drive or something like that, because Moshe Feinstein had a big leniency where he permitted. This is one of the big things that he permitted: Hatzalah members to drive home. That was a big thing, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thought it was not correct, but that was a big thing to permit, because we're afraid that if we don't let the Hatzalah members drive home, they won't want to take the call in the first place. So that's a big chiddush.
If you don't let people drive, then of course they can have a simple and sure. And it's down with some time. They're people in your family and close friends that are not from, they live some distance away. So you're left with the option of just not inviting them at all, which is not a great option.
Good hire a truck? Hire a good shipment?
You have 130 guests in the platform.
Yeah, it's a very sticky topic. You don't want to alienate anybody, but you don't want people. No, but to go for the call, that's pikuach nefesh. The question is, there's no pikuach nefesh once you did the call. Now you want to go home to be with your family. No one's losing their life over that.
You don't have the first, you don't have the second.
Right, but the others say that you can go for the pikuach nefesh, and then you got to stay there, or at least get a guy to drive.
And you accumulate all the people in the wrong place.
Okay, what can
no
you
more
do?
No pikuach
nefesh. Yeah.
I suppose nobody's ever extended Shabbos in Brooklyn. I assume that's a theoretical decision, but if you did, what the feelings would you gotten on Monday, Sunday, or Monday?
Yeah, no, you can't do it. I mean, there's some rebbes that maybe have, extend things, but for the regular people, it just doesn't work. Right, you can't. Right, in the Hanami, you can't. Yeah. Mitzvah. Marriage. Right.
Let's see. Person A, for example, he accepts Shabbos 1 hour and 15 minutes
before
sunset.
Right.
And another person accepts it 10 minutes before sunset.
Right.
So somehow the person who makes it earlier gets a bigger scar or
yeah. Right, so he gets another mitzvah, right? I mean, in other words, he was not able to extend Shabbos early because he wants to do the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. You know, how it works in Shemayim, we'll leave that up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We know that if a person has to do Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, so they have to do Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, and therefore they shouldn't accept Shabbos early if that would deter them from you know, right. So the Rambam writes that the mitzvah is to mekadesh Shabbos either on Shabbos or in near Shabbos. It doesn't have to be necessarily on Shabbos. Because the kiddush on Shabbos is you're welcoming the Shabbos, right? So you can do it once Shabbos is there, or you can do it a little bit earlier. But if you do it before the hour 15 minutes, that's too early. But the Kiddush on Shabbos, the Rambam says, doesn't necessarily have to be on Shabbos. It could be near Shabbos. It's good enough.
Is he the only one
who
says that?
He's the only one, but I mean, that's how the Rambam says. I'll tell you another halacha that people don't know, and that is, the halacha is that when you come home Friday night, you're supposed to make kiddush right away. Because you're not supposed to sit in the living room and have this long conversation for half an hour, 45 minutes, and then make your way into the dining room. I mean, if the woman of the household is still not finished, okay. But really, you know, sometimes people have guests and they park themselves in the living room to have this conversation for a half an hour. And then eventually they make, no, because Mekadesh Miyad, what's the idea? The idea that I explained is because you're welcoming in the Shabbos. So you viewed it like the following. If there would be an important guest in your house and you're not welcoming him and you're letting him sit there for 45 minutes, and then you 45 minutes later you come and say hello to him. So that would be insulting to the guest. So the same thing by Shabbos. Shabbos is here, so you have to officially welcome the Shabbos as soon as you could get home and deal with it. Yeah.
When making early Shabbos, if a man is in shul, let's say, whenever the minyan is taking in Shabbos, at what point does the rest of the family at home have to take in Shabbos?
Right. So we mentioned before that. That technically speaking, they have no obligation because Rav Moshe writes that it doesn't have a din of a minhag since it's only being done for convenience. And therefore, some people like to have the idea that before the husband comes home, I think Rav Moshe mentioned that, but that's more of it's awkward. That's just an awkward thing. But in terms of strict halacha, so if it would be done not for convenience that you would do, but everyone is doing it for convenience. So therefore, as Rav Moshe writes, Rabbi says that it wouldn't have any status that you have to follow the minute of the...
And then so you don't necessarily have to adhere to, if someone's at home, you don't have to say, I'm taking in Shabbos with this minion.
Right.
There's no such thing.
Right.
What if Friday night starts a holiday? Let's say it's the first Seder.
Right.
No,
well, for Pesach, you're not allowed to start early, because Pesach has its own halacha that the four cups of wine have to be drunk at night, dark, and the matzah and all that. So that has, in other words, so since it's Pesach, the Pesach Seder has to be done late. So Yom Kippur is, you can start Yom Kippur early, I mean, but that's not exactly the yontif that we want to start early, because there's a mitzvah to start. Sukkos is compared to Pesach, and Shavuos, technically that should not have been compared. That's the one yontif that should have been, you could be able to start early, but then we start with this other thing of Tmimos, that we need 49 complete days, and therefore we don't accept Shavuos early either. So it comes out practically, when it comes to Yontif, we don't do the hour 15 minute thing by Yontif. Yeah. Right.
And the Rebbe says that you light it and make the intent that the Shabbos shouldn't begin until you're there because you were taking care of it.
Right. Right.
Because the intent is there. You say, don't let my Shabbos begin until.
Right.
So that's.
Meaning the idea being like this, that really, when you light candles, so the original halacha was that Shabbos did not start with the lighting of the candles. That was a later enactment. The lighting of the candles just happens to be you're honoring Shabbos, not necessarily accepting Shabbos. And one of the later rabbis, post-Talmudic, Bahag, said that we're going to do it, that lighting the candles not only is honoring the Shabbos, but it's accepting the Shabbos. That was a later invention. That was a later invention. And therefore, they said that what? That if you stipulate that you're not accepting, so then you're going back to the original way of doing things. Because most of the early rabbis said that lighting of the candles has nothing to do with accepting Shabbos. I'll tell you something very interesting. What do we do on Shabbos Chanukah? Which do we light first? The Chanukah candles or the Shabbos candles? Chanukah candles. We all do that, right? Chanukah candles. But the original practice was what? Shabbos candles. Why? Because we have a klal, tadir, v'she'eino tadir. Something is more common, more frequent, goes first. So Shabbos is more frequent than Hanukkah. So that was the practice. Shabbos candles first, then Hanukkah candles. That was the practice. But once they started this new practice that we're accepting now Shabbos with the Shabbos candles, and they had to flip the Hanukkah candles first, etc. But that was a later idea. So this idea that you're saying that you could make a condition that I don't want to accept Shabbos with the candles, you're just going back to the original practice that lighting the candles was not the acceptance of Shabbos.
So
the
point I just said is 10. I have in mind that I'm going to make Shabbos visible shirt real Shabbos. But I have to light the candles because I'm the only one home. Do I make the broken and then light? Not like she does it?
Yeah, so that's a big discussion about when do you light the because normally the halacha is you're supposed to make the bracha first,
right?
And
so
then
that's what I would do if my wife said.
Right, that's what she would light and then make the bracha, right? And there's a big discussion about yontif. Which way should you do it on yontif? Because yontif, you're allowed to light if it's with a pre-existing fire. So should you make the bracha first or not? So there was a famous woman that's quoted in the Talmudic discussions with Prisha's mother, and he said that on yontif, the women should light the candles first. Should make the bracha first and then light, because yontif, you're allowed to light if it's not pre-existing. And then the Magen Avraham said maybe the women should stick to the sewing and not get involved in their because maybe we just keep it the same as Shabbos. But you're right, in other words, normally the halacha is you're supposed to do a mitzvah, you're supposed to make the bracha first and then do the mitzvah. But on Shabbos candles, we reverse it because no, it could be that if you're going to say that we don't make a distinction, but it could be for men that they're not accepting, then it could be that we would say to make the bracha first because that's the normal thing to make the bracha first. Okay. So these are some ideas of Shabbos and Kabbalah. One more question, and we'll.
Did you tell your friend to do it
in Alaska? Oh yeah, in Alaska. So I told him. Well, I think he's going to go to sleep and make Havdalah on Sunday. And then Shabbos, I said, well, you'll be up at least till 11, right? So then you can that that'll be within the hour and 15, you know, when you're up at 11 o'clock, 11:30, probably you'll still be up, so then that's when you'll accept Shabbos. And if you don't want to wait up till 1 in the morning to make Havdalah, then you'll go to sleep and you'll make Havdalah on Sunday morning.
In Alaska, when we were in Anchorage, with the Chabad Rabbi, they make a specific designation that this is when Shabbos starts and this is when Shabbos ends.
Meaning?
It has nothing to do with when it's the sun sets and the sun rises.
Yeah, okay, that's an interesting idea. I mean, when you get to these countries, things become complicated, but that's a question whether that's the way to do it, or is it a specific time, in other words, when it gets dark. So, okay, if that's what they did. Okay, very good.